Hey, Chevra. It's a very special schuss to be together, as we said. To be together and show that Torah is something we carry with us wherever we are. That over the years, I can't remember a time that we had shir in America, not in our bias, but we're together in the Pocono Mountains. Torah is nitzchias, and Torah is above any place or any time. And it's just to be together and to learn Torah together. And all the Torah tonight, all the chizik tonight, all the service tonight is Lili Nishmas, a very special person in my life. It's sponsored by her daughter and son-in-law, Shlom Binyamin and Chai Rezel Renov. Lili Nishmas, Chana Bela Efrat, Bas Moshe, Barbara Goldsmith, whose yahrzeit is Matzah Shabbos on Sunday. She taught me a lot about how to be a parent. She was the most incredible parent, maybe the most incredible parent I ever met. In her understanding of her children and her care for her children, her ability to understand that there's nothing else important in her life but her children. And my father just told me, my father has a schut to be in Eretz Yisrael right now, and he heard it a shir the other day in Eretz Yisrael. Somebody was speaking how they heard that somebody asked Rav Shechter, Rav Herschel Shechter Shlita, what's his greatest accomplishment in the world? What's the greatest thing he's accomplished? And he said his greatest accomplishment is that he has 9 children that are Shomer Torah Mitzvos, and that he has continued the Messiah of Klal Yisrael. And that's what he feels his greatest accomplishment is, what he's done for his children and who his children are. Imagine this, Rav Herschel Shechter, Gadol Hador Shiva, holding Kol HaTorah Kula, has taught Torah to thousands of Yidden, and that's his greatest accomplishment. The greatest accomplishment we could have is just to be a good father, to be a good mother, to give that over to our children. And Barbara Goldsmith was the best of mothers. And from Chana we learn how to daven. From Chana we learn how to daven. Chana davened so deeply for her Shmuel, and Chana Bela Efrat davened so deeply in her Bechor Shmuel Zalman, who I'm so close to. And Amir Tashem, all the Torah and all the Chizik and all the Cyrus tonight should be a big schus for her Neshama, Lil Neshmasa. She should be Bez Hashem, it should be schusim for her Shemayim. She should be big Malit Yosha for her beautiful family, to Ozoicha, to be together again with Mashiach Zakenu Bimher Bimin. So we have to learn how to daven, and we have to talk about davening tonight. And I think it's an area that we need more chizik in, I think. It's possible we all could admit that it's an area that every yid, we need more chizik. And we're desensitized sometimes from the importance of davening with proper kavana and connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our tefillas. And Mirtz Hashem will develop something very special. This week's Parshas Chayesara, so mamish, we our hearts are in Chevron, each and every one of us. I don't know how many in this room has the schus to be Chevron for Chayesara. Who has been Chevron Chayesara? I know none of the Tziv guys, Hashem Yirachim. But
he's still there.
It's true. But if you haven't been Chevron Chayesara, you're missing out big time. You're missing out on an experience of a lifetime. Do you know what it is to be my grandmother's been Chevron Chayesara for the past, I think, about 22 years. My father goes every single year. I've had this list to go a few times. Not enough. I'll never forget the last time. The last time was a few years ago, the last time that Chayesara fell out Thanksgiving. And I'll share with you one moment to understand what you're missing out. Forget about 25,000 Jews in Chevron for Shabbos, which itself is just incredible. And all the singing and all the Osiris. You know what it is, and I'll tell you, I mamish feel this moment like yesterday. I davened Shabbos morning then with Rav Simcha Hachbaum, Yudit Nafshi, a very close friend who I love. A lot of Chevra, Rav Shmuel here. Chevra from Reshit, obviously, all know very well. Shalom Allah. And any of us who've been to Chevra, you know Rav Hachbaum. So I went to daven Rav Simcha Hachbaum. He has a beautiful minyan and the singing. And it comes to laning time. and it comes to Rishon, and you're laning and reading about the purchase of the Ma'ariv HaMechpelah by Avraham Avinu to bury Sarah Imenu, and you're standing in the Ma'ariv HaMechpelah. And I was standing there, I went close to stand right before, behind the Torah. It was a Svardi Torah, so I was standing up, and I stood right behind, and I'm reading in the Torah. I wasn't the Baal Kore, I was reading behind, I didn't have that Aliyah, and I was just reading behind and watching, and I'm just reading about the purchase of the Ma'ariv HaMechpelah in the Ma'ariv HaMechpelah. I managed to start bawling, tears streaming down my cheeks. You know what it is as a Yid to read about the purchase of the Ma'ariv HaMechpelah? Where Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Leah, Adam and Chava, in the Ma'ariv HaMechpelah, there are no words. I don't have to give you any more. Maybe somehow we'll still be there. Mir Tashem. But we have to understand what's so special about that place. Why was that the place that Avram chose? This is where I need to bury Sarah Imenu. This is the burial plot of the Avos, the Imos. Why? So if you look in Rashi at the beginning of this week's parasha, you'll find right away in the beginning, the second pasuk, "Atarma Sarah bekiras Arba hi Chevron beretz Kanaan v'yav Avram spol the Sarah of Kaisa." So Rashi there tells us bekiras Arba. Shem Arba anokim shayisham. First pshat is that there were giants, therefore giants. Davaracha Shem Arba zugo shenikbru sham ish ve'ishto. There are four pairs, husband and wife, that were buried there. Adam and Chava, Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah. So we see right away Rashi tells us before Avram and Sarah were buried there, before Sarah Imenu was buried, as the makom of the kura of Adam and Chava. That already tells us that maybe it was that Avram Avinu wanted that makom because that's where Adam and Chava were already. But so what? Adam and Chava were there. Adam and Chava, do we look at Adam and Chava as so Kaddosh and so special? Think about it. Adam and Chava, that's why on some level we're suffering until today. We're still trying to be metakin what they were makalka, what they destroyed in this world through Chet Eta Das. We're still trying to get back to the time of Adam Rishon Kaidim Chet. So why that makom? What's so special? So comes the Zohar Chadash. If you look at the Zohar Chadash, we have it here, I'll read it to you, and it's a Medrash and Rus in the Zohar Chadash. It's a design of a base. He says, Rav Kisma Omar, Maris HaMechpelah Samach LePesach Gan Eden. That the Maris HaMechpelah is right by the opening of Gan Eden. B'shah Shemesa Chava Ba'adam Likvar Hashem. And when Chava died first, Adam came to bury her there. Visham heiriach meirechois Gan Eden ba'isa areach shayasham. And there Adam smelled the scent of Gan Eden. And he wanted to go further. It goes on, and a baskel say, enough, you can't go any further, you can't enter Gan Eden. And he buried her there. Then it goes on a machloikes whether who buried Adam there. Was it his son? Was it Chase? Or was that Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoid v'atmo? That's the machloikis in the Zohar over here. And then it continues. Elohi Amishur Debo. Nobody knew exactly where this was. He had this makom that is not just where Adam and Chava was buried. It's the entrance to Gan Eden in this world. I'm reading you from the Chodesh. You see, Chaver. Atchaba Avram Vino, I love Hashalom. V'ra also, Avram Avinu somehow came and saw this. V'eriach reach b'samim shel Gan Eden, and he smelled the scent of Gan Eden. Imagine what it is to smell the scent of Gan Eden. You know what it is to smell the scent of Gan Eden? Maybe that's why people have taivas for certain smells, even Yavin. They're searching for the scent of Gan Eden. They're just looking in all the wrong places. The scent of Gan Eden.
V'shama kol malachi asher zomrim, he heard the malachim. Adam arishon kavar sham. And Avram Avinu is there, he smells Gan Eden, and he hears malachim say, this is where Adam arishon is. But Avram is Yaakov mukhanim yila makom hazeh, and this malachim asher said, and this is where Avram and Yaakov are prepared to be. Ra haner dolek, he saw this candle lit. Imagine this, Avram Avinu sees a candle lit in the marzah, in the cave, where he smells Gan Eden. And there, miyad tavasa al makom zeh, he immediately desired this should be the place. And then the Zohar goes on that a lot of people were searching, wanted to be buried there. Nobody was allowed until this was the makom for them. So now we're starting to understand. Mamish, it's the entrance to Gan Eden. We can understand how kadosh such a makom is. But what about, what's it mean to us? Why are there 25,000 Yidden flocking to Chevron the Shabbos? Yes, to appreciate what I had this chus to appreciate, what I gave over to you before. But why are we constantly, is that a makom we go to davening? Or we should go to davening? So on one level, it's not just, it's that you want to be, if I told you we could be close to the entrance of Gan Eden, it's got to be a holy place, right? But it's more than now, we could say as well, it's where the Avos are buried. It's where Avram Yitzchak Yaakov are buried. It's where Sarah Yemenu is buried. Where Rachel, where Leah is buried. Where Rivka is buried. You go to Eretz Yisrael, you don't go to visit your tata and your mama. I don't understand for the life of me. Today, one day in one of my halacha classes, I was talking about this, about Chevron and Marzach Pela. And Mamash, all these guys that have been to Eretz Yisrael time after time after time, you know, guys with apartments there that have been there every Sukkot of their life. They don't even know Sukkot exists outside Eretz Yisrael. Guys like that never been to Chevron. Shem Yerachim and the neshamas. Like, what's going on? You're going to Eretz Yisrael time and time again. You never went to visit your parents. You never went to visit your parents. To daven by Kivrei Avos, and not just Kivrei Avos, Kivrei Tzadikim. We're going to jump on a plane, Rosh Hashanah Numan, and I don't, no disrespect, Rosh Hashanah Numan, I'm sure, is Kodesh Kedoshim. But then when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you don't go to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov? Really? Wait a minute, every Shemona Esrei, we start Elokeinu Elokei Elvaseinu, Elokei Avram Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Yaakov. Last time I checked, it's not Elokei Nachman over there. And I don't go to Marzach Pela? We don't go to Chevron? Like, really? I'm scared. You're not scared of the Ukrainians? You're scared more of getting a... Okay, so you don't have to be like me who drives. You can go on the bulletproof bus. But it's much deeper than that, even, Chevra. It's not just that it's the entrance to Gan Eden. And it's not just that that's where Avos are and our Emos are. And I want you to hear and listen well, Chevra, tonight. We're going to develop something so deep and so special. And a new understanding of tefillah. The Megala Mukos, the Ramami Pano, the Noam Elimelech, and many others explain, and have many sources, I'm not going to go through all right now, that every single time that we daven, listen, Chevra, every time that we daven, you know where our tefillahs go? So we have this imaginary feeling that our tefillahs just go up straight up to God. And He listens to them and judges and decides what to do with those tefillahs. That's not how it works. You know where they go? They go to Marzach Pela. They go to Chevron, to be mechaber, to be attached to the tefillos of the Avos, to the tefillos of the Imos. The Mitar, Mekadesh, and how beautiful is that? That our tefillos are connected to the tefillos of Avram and Yaakov. And that's how we start off with Shimon Ezra, like, Ke'av is in, okay, Avram and Yaakov. And that's where our tefillos go first, and are connected to the tefillos of our Avos. In fact, in Tehillim, Lama Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk says, very famous, we all know the Pasuk, we daven, Shiru LaHashem Shir Chadash. Shiru LaHashem Shir Chadash. Is Rashi Tevos, Shin Lamed Shin Ches. Shin Lamed Shin Ches is Gematria 638. Exactly, Gematria, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Shira LaShem Shir Chadash. Shira, we know, is Gematria 515. Is Gematria Tefillah. The ultimate Tefillah is when we're singing to Hashem. But that singing to Hashem, Shira LaShem Shir Chadash, has to be a Shira that connects to Avraham and Yaakov. that's, we want to be mechubar to their tefillas. They're the ones who taught us how to daven. They're the ones who initiated tefillah into the world. The Tefillah Shleima, the Heilige Radomsker, said not only do our tefillah, and this is very deep, we're not even going to talk about tonight, but not only do our tefillahs first pass through that makom before they go up to Hashem, but even our Torah and our Ma'asim Tovim, it all first goes there. It's cleansed in Marzach Pela. So now we can start to understand. Now we can understand why we want to be there. And we want to daven there. How special. So if that's where our tefillahs go, you don't want to daven there and not, that your tefillahs don't have to first travel there? Imagine what the tefillahs are when we're actually davening there. Incredible. Problem is that we have a stira. There's a very famous Rashi in Parashas Vayetze. In Parashas Vayetze, in Perek Chaf Ches, Pasuk Yud Zayin, by the whole Maisa of Yaakov Avinu and the Sulam and the ladder, and you all know it. So Yaakov Avinu says, he was on Har Abayis, and he says, this is Beis Elokim and Shar HaShemayim. This is the house of God and the gate to heaven. And Rashi here says, it's a little bit smaller over here, you know, with the light, the Chever brought me to, let's see, you have a flashlight over there? Thank you. V'zeh Shar Shemayim. This is the gate, Evan. Makom Tfila La'alos Tfilasam HaShemayim. That this is the place of Tfila and where the Tfilas rise up to Shemayim. That this is the Makom. Wait a minute. We just said, and we learned from the Naaman LeMelech and from the Heilige Tzaddik and Magal HaMukos and Rami Pano, we all learned that what? That our Tfilas are going to Marzach Pela to go up to Shemayim, but now it says they go which way? Tarabayas. That makes sense. Why we all go down by Kaisel Maravi? But which one is it? Where do they go up to Shemayim? Do they go up from Marzach Pela from Chevron? Do they go up from Harabayas? Mokom Amigdash, which makes a lot of sense. So listen, Chevron, Mamish, going to share with you based. We all know that this famous machlekes in the Gemara on Brachos Daf Chavavam Abeis. We all know this machlekes is the tefillah b'makom avos or tefillahs b'makom tamidim. That we have various sources in Chazal that Shachris Mincha Meiriv are Keneged Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Yet we also say that Shachris Keneged Tamid Shel Shachar and Minchas Keneged Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. And Meirv's Keneged all the Evarim that are still burning on the Mizbeach. So which one is it? And the Gemara there goes through all different types of Rayas, both ways, and talks about how we see all the Rayas from the Karbonos and the Rayas that the Heilige Avos were metaking these Tfilos. Maybe that's the same Mechleikas. Is the tefillah, the ikar makom of tefillah, Marzach, Pela, which are the avos, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, or the tamidim, which is where Harabais? Where does our tefillah go up? Which is the exact machloikas in the Gemara and Brachos, Chavav, and Beis. This is the machloikas, maybe, of where our tefillahs go up to Shemayim from. But now we could start understanding in a deeper way, Chevra, listen. Our Rebbe, our Heilige Rebbe, the Shlita Pinchas, or Pinchas Friedman, Shlita, Shlita Pinchas suggests that maybe it's both. Meaning what? Elu ve'elu divrikim chayim. Elu ve'elu divrikim chayim. And our tefillos, maybe, when we dive in, our tefillos first leave our mouths. And where do they go? Chevron, Marzach Pela. To be purified and to be connected to the Avos. And from there, they go to Makom Harabayis, and that's when Oilel Shemayim. That's where they go up to Shemayim. And therefore, tefillahs are both
b'makom avos b'makom tamidim. And we need both the koyach of Marzach Pele of Chevron and koyach of Harabayas Yerushalayim Eir Kodesh. But let's understand this b'derech avoyda Chevron. This is all beautiful Torah, and this is all deep amkus in tefillah and where our tefillahs are going. But what does this all mean to each and every one of us? What does that mean, shkoyach? So I can walk away. So far, we can walk away tonight. My tefillahs, they go to Marach Pela, and then they go to Harabayas, and they go to Shemayim. Shkoyach, Rabbi. Now, okay, that gives us a little chizik if I happen to be zoicha to be in Marach Pela, so that's nice, that's awesome. If I happen to be at the Koizel, that's awesome. Although at the Koizel, maybe it's not even as good, because the Koizel, first my tefillahs have to go to Marach Pela, and now back, it's like they're going back and forth. When I'm davening Marach Pela, they only go one place. They're there, and they go straight to Koizel, and both pray to Harabayas. Maybe more Kaddish to daven in Marzach Pela than even at the Kaisel Ma'arabi. You could suggest. But what does this all mean? So I want to explain this whole Torah based on an article I read years ago from Rabbi Dr. Lord Sir Jonathan Sacks. Years and years ago, since then, he's come out with many svarim on the parashios. When he came out with his first on Bereishis, so there's a guy in the neighborhood, a very special individual. His name's Alan Gerber. And he used to often give me manuscripts and svarim before they even come out. He somehow gets them to read them. He writes like reviews of books on svarim. So years ago, before even Rabbi Sack came out with his first Sefer on Bereishis, now I think he finished all five Chumash Chumash Torah. So he had this like a manuscript. It was all like the soft cover, and he gave it to me after he finished reading through and learning through. And I have it. And there's a commentary on Tefillah where he explains as follows so beautifully. And Rabbi Sack suggests there are two aspects of tefillah. Listen closely, Mamish. This is an idea, Mamish, could change your lives in tefillah. I really deeply believe. He says, there's one chelak of tefillah is keneged, the tmidim, the karban tamid, makom harabayas. And what does that represent? That's the consistency of tefillah. That's the daily tefillah that every day I show up and I daven shachris, and every day I daven mincha, and every day I daven ma'ariv. And I go to shul and I'm part of that minyan. Tefillah b'tzibur. That's the carbon tamid. Tamid, consistently. Sometimes if that's all that my tefillah is, if that's all that my relationship with Hashem is, which is so important that my relationship with Hashem is consistent, and it's so important that my relationship with Hashem is daily, and so important that it's three times a day. But if that's all that it is, it often could lack passion. It could lack heart. It could lack emotion. There also needs a spontaneous outpouring of our soul at any given moment. The avos were not yet bound by a shachris mincha ma'ariv. The avos were not bound by the tamid. The avos did not have the rules and regulations that we had. They didn't have a set prayer. They didn't have set times. They were creatively developing a language of their heart. And that's tefillah b'makom avos. That's the second aspect that we need. The avos spoke from the depths of their being to the one who's the depth of all being. That tefillah that is at every moment. You know, recently I showed my shir. Yearly I show my shir. There's one movie I always show my shir. Every single year. I've watched this since it came out, every year, at least once a year. I'm sure we've all seen Ushbizen. Ushbizen came out years ago. If you haven't seen it yet, you have a chiv to watch it. It's a Torah, it's not a movie. It's not a movie. It's Yesoidus of Rav Nachman. And even if you don't learn Rav Nachman, even more so, you have to learn some of the Yesoidus. And deep Yesoidus. Yesoidus of Nachman. Of working on our kas and not getting angry. Yesoidus of just feeling Hashem in our lives. But of the biggest yesoidus and the biggest reason I show it to my shir and the biggest Torah of the entire movie is to see Moshe Belanga and his Eishes Chayil those are the characters. Non-stop davening. I'm not talking about, and you do see him at times going to shul for shachars, whatever it might be. I'm saying davening throughout the day, whatever happens in life, latoyev or lebakasha. Something good happens, the immediate response when something good happens. Thank you so much, Hashem. You're amazing. You're incredible. Talking to Hashem. Sheva, chakar zatov to Hashem. Davening to Hashem. When they need anything in their life, when there's something difficult, immediately. Hashem, please help me. Hashem, talking to Hashem, going running into the forest. It's not, yes, there was that. You see the tefillah is bound by time and place of the Tamid, but you also learn what it is. From that movie, you could learn what it is to daven b'makom avos. The Korbanos were these detailed sacrifices, detailed prescriptive rules. It's our Siddur. Shachris, Mincha, Ma'arav, what we have to say. But even within that, where's our creativity and our emotion and our heart, our avos within our Karban Tamid? Ourselves in our tefillahs. You know, there's a famous story, and you've all heard this story. But you know, we heard this story, many of us heard this story years ago. In nursery, in kindergarten, pre-wedding, in first grade. You know, just like, I strongly believe this, just like when it comes to learning Torah, we have to continuously grow in our learning and develop a deeper depth. So all of us learned the story of Parshas Chayesara when we were 5 years old. I feel bad, I'm missing Shabbos Kodesh with my family. It's mamash one of the hardest things in the world, because I love so much to be Shabbos Kodesh with my family. It's so special. Lel Shabbos Suda with my mishpacha, with my children. To give everyone a bracha before Kiddush, to make Kiddush, to sing together, to talk Torah together, to hear their Divrei Torah. And every Friday night, we go through, my son Uriel Nassan Svi, he's 5 years old, and go through the parsha sheet and ask him, and he knows, Mamish is incredible, he knows every detail of the parsha every single week. But detail should be, Mamish, it's incredible, it's beautiful. But I hope next year he knows a lot more in Chayesara, and the year after much more. And each and every one of us are Marv Sedra, Shai Mikver Ketargum, but we hopefully look at new Perushim, new understandings, have a deeper depth in Torah. So just like we could look at the same Torah year in and year out and understand the deeper depth, so true is the stories. But I'm talking the deep stories, the real stories, the stories of the Tzaddikim. This is a very famous story that you all have heard, but do you understand the depth of the story? Hilge Berditchever, Levi Yitzchak, and Sasha, Schusser Yogan Aleinu. So Berditchever, he lived in a makom and in Berditchev, and it was an impoverished city, poor families. And there was a family there that had a son, and they couldn't afford to send him to yeshiva or for malamed. And from a young age, he already had to work. He had to be a shepherd. Because he didn't go to yeshiva, he never learned the aleph beis. He never learned how to daven. And eventually, he became bar mitzvah. He eventually became bar mitzvah. And his bar mitzvah year, it was Yom Kippur. And he so deeply, he knew, he's bar mitzvah already. He heard, he knew what Yom Kippur was. And he wanted to go to shul to daven Yom Kippur, but he didn't know how to daven. He didn't know how to say the aleph beis. But he shows up to shul, and he looks around, and he sees all the chassidim davening, me'amkos alev, shekling and crying with their talism over their heads, and the Berditchever mamish was like an or. And he wants it so badly, he wants to be a part of that, he felt it. He doesn't know what to do. So he goes up to the Aron Kodesh, mamish goes up to the Aron, and what was he excellent at? He was an excellent whistler. Right? Whistleblowers are big in the news these days. I'm Avin Yavin, the whistleblower. The whistleblower. Who was the whistleblower? This Yid was the whistleblower. This Yid. Forget about any other whistleblowers. This was the whistleblower. And he gets up to Aron Kodesh and he starts, because he would always whistle to gather his sheep, let the sheep move from one makom to another makom. And he just starts whistling. Mamish whistling me amkus alev. He has thoughts, deeper machshavos than we've ever had in our life of shevach tashem, of karzatov, of bakashos, but whistling was his mode of physical action, physical tefillah.
Imagine you're in Kippur davening, that's what you hear. And the men there, they didn't know what's going on. They start getting perturbed, they start getting upset. And one of them goes over, shh, and he just gets louder. And eventually they want to just pull him off. They're going to pull him off, and the Berditchever gets up and things. Mayer Ivera Baisa, you have to leave him. Let him whistle. Do you understand what was going on? We were davening and davening. I saw the Sha'arim, the gates were locked. They weren't going for some reason. And this young boy came and starts whistling to Hashem. And his whistles were so pure and so emesthetic. And they broke through the gates and pulled all our tefillahs with them. Let him continue. They let him continue to whistle that Yom Kippur. Chavi, you know why that was a tefillah? That wasn't shachris, that wasn't mincha, that wasn't ma'ariv, it wasn't bound by time or place. It wasn't tefillahs of the tamid, it was tefillahs of the avos. Tefillahs min halev. The emes is we need both. Without spontaneity, the spirit withers. Without structure, it lapses into chaos, as Rabbi Sachs says. We need both. We need the consistency. We need to not stop going minyan, shachris, mincha, ma'ariv. So we don't lapse into chaos, but we also need the spontaneity. So we have the emotion, we have the passion. How often do we daven a fourth tefillah of the day? When was the last time we davened that fourth tefillah? I'm not talking musuf, don't be a wise Alec. I'm talking a tefillah ma'am because I lave. So it's clear to all that the Kaisel is the epicenter of the world. It's clear to all that our tefillahs have to go to that makom. It's clear to everybody that makom of the Karban Tamid is part of what tefillah is. That's clear, and we all go daven by Kaisel Maravi, but we can't forget it must first pass through Marzach Pela, the tefillahs Avos, the tefillah Me'amkas Alev. You know, it's interesting that it's makom, b'makom tamid. Tamid maybe even actually incorporates all of it. On one level, tamid is that consistency. But tamid also means it's always, there are no limits. Halavai shis ba'al kol ayom. B'makom tamid maybe incorporates it all. But we need both the tamid and we need the avos. We need the synthesis. Eilev eilev divikim chayim. It feels avos tiknam, it feels connected to me, it's all one. The tefillahs first have to go to Marzach Pela and then go to our Abayis. We need the spontaneity, the creativity, the heart of our tefillahs. You want to dive into tefillah shlema? The Gemara talks about a tefillah shlema. But that's the tefillah that helps heal people. The tefillah shlema is when you have yeshuos and refuos. Tefillah shlema with the koilos, 886, is gematria. Zeh hatomid ve'avos. Zeh hatomid ve'avos. This is tefillah shlema, is when you have both the synthesis of the karban tamid, the consistency, and the avos, and the spontaneity, and the passion. Chaver, this is the first Thursday night shir I have the chus to give since I had my laser procedure on my vocal cords. Last Thursday night was the first time, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in 14 years that we canceled Shir, that I wasn't away. That I wasn't in Yerushalayim, Eretz Kodesh, or somewhere else away. Because I could hardly speak, and the doctor said I wasn't allowed yet. And even though it was so hard, and you want to give, but you have to understand the importance of the future and the importance of not destroying that which was done. This is the first time we're together giving shir since I had that laser procedure. Baruch Hashem, you hear? I can talk. It's like, no one should tell the doctors I didn't use the mic tonight. I'm not supposed to be speaking without the mic. But a little bit of more of a close-knit chaver tonight. So I want to just tell you about that procedure for a moment. So I went into that procedure honestly thinking it wasn't going to be a big deal at all. Like, I was more just worried about the recovery and how soon I'd be able to speak and be able to give shiurim and be able to be mechazik people and be there for people. I was more worried about not being able to speak and how long it would take to recover. I'm still in recovery in ways. But Baruch Hashem, It's gone quicker than I thought that would. But I thought the procedure itself wouldn't be that intense, to be honest. The way it was described to me, the way it was told to me, see, this type of surgery, if it was a real surgery in a hospital with anesthesia and cutting it away, that's very intense. But here, a laser procedure was described to me the same way they checked it, which basically is sending a video camera up through the nose and check through the vocal cord. Basically, they said they're going to basically do the same thing and just zap away with a laser for a little bit. They'll first numb me like crazy, and I'll be fine. It won't be a big deal. After an hour, the numbing wears off, and that's it. That's what I thought. I thought, no big deal. My wife, Be'eshes Chayil, is incredible. Asked me, do you want me to come with you? I said, no, you don't need to come with me. You don't have to take over work. I'll drive myself. I'll go. They said, you could drive back afterwards. The whole thing, they said, is 10 minutes. I'm like, okay, it'll be fine. So I go in. Incredible doctor. Mamish, an incredible doctor. It's Dr. Ivy, really so special. But I go in, and first they start numbing me. And they spray things up the nose, they put cloths up the nose to get deeper into numb. Then they start spraying inside my mouth. That was just, mamish, the most disgusting thing I've ever tasted in my life. Mamish, they give you like a spitzach because they know it's going to be most disgusting. I don't think there's anything created that can taste more disgusting than whatever it was that numbs your mouth. I don't think there's anything in the world that's more disgusting than whatever that was. Okay, but fine. And then it takes a while. They say 15, 20 minutes until you're fully numb. And I feel it all getting very numb, the whole mouth and deeper in the nose area. Okay, you're ready to go. And they come in, the doctor, a nurse, some other individual. I don't know what that guy was doing there, but he was standing there. Not sure. They give glasses. You got to put on these glasses, like mamish, these big glasses because of the laser. And they go and they start going in. And right away, even though I'm supposed to be all numb, I start feeling it and feeling much more intense than any of the earlier video. I think this one's like much bigger because you got to get the laser inside it and it feels uncomfortable. Okay. But you can handle it. But then they start shooting away the laser, zapping away. And basically, I have this, right, I have a polyp on my vocal cord that they had to remove and around it, all the blood vessels, the chesnesh. And I thought, you're going to be so numb, you don't feel anything, right? No. I mamish, you feel it being zapped. It hurt. No, again, I don't mean crazy pain, but it was in, like this intense, it was uncomfortable and pain at the same time. And then I start mamish smelling the smoke, the flesh being burnt, and it's like, it's scary. I don't know. It became just like this very intense time with pain, with uncomfortable, and like these people on top of me. And just like, and mamish start like, it was like, it wasn't fun. I find myself at it, like, and I could take pain. It wasn't crazy pain. It was a pain. I find myself tears coming down my cheeks, like just by themselves. Like, I didn't even know I was going to cry. It was like a weird type of, you know, like, it's like this whole thing was just, I don't know how to describe it more than like an intense moment. Crazy. So what did I do? I'm just sitting there. So what did I do? And I just wanted, all I wanted, like anything more than anything, just for this to end, like the quicker, I don't know how. Again, it only was maybe 10, 12 minutes, but it felt, you know, when you're in the middle of it, you don't know how long it's going to be. So I just start davening. Now I couldn't speak, and I couldn't, but I'm saying, Behir Hurim, B'machshavos. I just start davening. I'm saying Tehillim in my head. And I just start davening. And I'm davening that it should go well. I'm davening that it should go quickly. And I'm davening it should be over. I'm davening that it should be B'tzlacha. And mamish just davening, I'm telling you, Chevra, was like the biggest necham in the world. It was so calming. It was so, once I just started davening, I was all good already. While it was still going on. Because you know what's incredible as a yid? You could always daven. And you could always connect Hashem. And we're never helpless. Whatever the situation is, we could always be davening. Wherever we are, whatever the moment is. And you don't need your sitter. And they don't have to even be tehillim. You can just talk to Hashem and you could daven. It's an amazing thing. You're in a situation and you feel helpless and nothing physically you could do to help it. You could daven. And someone, lo aleinu, has a machl and the doctors give up hope. Guess up, we're not helpless. Because we have tefillah. And you're so with abundant of joy and you're so happy because something incredible happened and you don't even know what to do and say, daven.
in every situation we could daven. And through that tefillah I could connect to Hashem. And I know that the master of the world is watching over me. And he's listening to me. And he's taking care of me. And the tefillah, whatever Hashem decides to do with that tefillah is even secondary. Just to know I could connect to Hashem and I could be with him. And I have something I can do to help the situation. I'm never helpless. There's something I could do to help the situation. I could daven. That's awesome. That's incredible. That's the tefillah of Avos. We can't forget the tefillah of the Tamid. We can't forget the tefillah that ultimately goes through our Abayas. The tefillah of Shachris and Mincha and Ma'ariv, and make sure that we don't get lost in our own lives and keeps us straight through those tefillahs. But let's not forget either that our tefillahs first have to pass through the Maariv HaChpelah, to pass through Chevron, to be mechaber the tefillahs of the Avos who are mechadesh, who put their heart and soul into those tefillahs that came from themselves. And we too have to daven b'makom Avos and b'makom Korbanos of Tmidios. Maybe that's when we'll be zoiche to the tefillah shlema. And all the schusim of tefillah shlema as Chazal teach us. When zeh hatamid v'avos, Mir Tashem, we shall be zoiche. In the parish of Maariv HaChpelah, that our tefillahs should go to Maariv HaChpelah, and the Avos should see our tefillahs and should hear our tefillahs and be like, those are our type of tefillahs. Those are our type of tefillahs. We don't even have to do anything with these tefillahs. Just send them to our bayis. They're ready to go. And that tzchus will be zoicha to Yeshua, will be zoicha to Refuah, will be zoicha to B'shus Toivas. Until we're zoicha to me, Mamish, dancing with the Avos and bringing the Karban Tamid in the Beis HaMikdash, B'shiach Zekeinu, B'mehera B'yameinu.